To begin with, we know that the rosary primarily consists of the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. The Our Father, we know, comes right from the Gospel of St. Luke. When the apostles asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray," Jesus said, "When you pray, pray thus, Our Father who art in heaven," etc. The Hail Mary, we know, also comes from the Gospel of St. Luke. When the angel announced to Mary that she was to be the Mother of God, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And we also know later in the Gospel of St. Luke, when Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how is it the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So we have right from the Gospel, the Our Father and a Hail Mary. The Glory Be was instituted by the apostles. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. The rest of the Glory Be was added on at the Council of Nicaea, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. But indeed, this sacramental is a very powerful means of grace. So much so that Our Lady said to St. Dominic, "One day by the rosary and the scapular, the world would be saved." I experienced this past year. I was visiting family out of state, never really met them before. We had dinner together, and I was asking about their family members, etc., and with great sorrow, the parents told me that their daughter had fallen away from the faith. And unfortunately, she was involved with drugs, very severely involved with drugs. I said, "Is there any opportunity to see her or speak to her?" And they said, I don't think she'd come. I said, "Does she live nearby?" "Well, she's at work." I said, "Well, this might be a one and only chance. Let's go visit her at work." So we went to the place of work, and her father got her out of the place, and we just had a very small window of opportunity to talk to her. But I handed her a brown scapular, and I told her, "Could you do one thing, and that is at least say three Hail Marys every day. Our Blessed Mother loves you, and she'll help you." And that was a moment that she cooperated. She put the scapular right on, started praying the Hail Marys, and as they say out in the world, she went cold turkey, stopped taking drugs right then. Broke off taking the drugs, didn't have to go to rehab or anything else like that, and she was heavily addicted to drugs, some very hard drugs. That had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Our Lady and the power of Our Blessed Mother's intercession. When we think of the Holy Rosary, it reminds me of the story of the young man back in the days when they didn't have cars or airplanes. Everyone, for the most part, when they went long distances, traveled by train. And this young university student got on a train, and he was very impressed with all his learning. He had so many semesters in at the university, and he was getting his degree in science. And he sits down, and across from him is this, as this young man thought, this poor, deluded fellow, elderly man fingering his beads. And the young man spoke up to this elderly man and said, I would think that a man of your age would have given up that superstitious stuff, the beads, you know." And so the elderly man made the sign of the cross, put his rosary away, and started talking to him. And he asked the young man, "What university do you go to? What are you studying? How long have you been in the university?" And the man went, young man went on and on and on. And when the young man came to his stop, he got up to leave and shook the elderly man's hand and said, "Oh, by the way, sir, I didn't get your name. What's your name?" The elderly man reached into his pocket, handed out a business card, "Dr. Louis Pasteur, the world-renowned biologist, and this young man felt very foolish. He had put down this elderly man who supposedly was involved with the superstitious practice of the beads, the rosary, and yet this man was a genius, and everyone in the world knew he was a genius, and this man had the knowledge to know that the laws of nature were given by a lawgiver. And this man, in his old age, not only knew about God, but he knew about divine revelation and Jesus Christ, and he was praying his rosary. The point to be made is that it doesn't matter if we're young or we're old or we're smart or we're uneducated. It doesn't matter if we're advanced in a spiritual life or we're just beginning. The rosary is appropriate for all of us. It beautifully combines both vocal prayer, the recitation of the creed, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and mental prayer, the meditation on the mysteries. How wonderfully is brought before our minds everything that we read of in the gospel. The joyful mysteries. We see how our Blessed Mother, she was living that beautiful prayer that she offered to God on her visitation to her cousin Elizabeth. My soul magnifies the Lord. When our Blessed Mother was told that she was to be the Mother of God, what joy filled her immaculate heart to know the coming of the Messiah is realized, and she was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God. The joy of Mary to go to her cousin Elizabeth and see this miracle, this her cousin in her elderly age, and she's with child in her 6th month. And then for our Blessed Mother to miraculously give birth to Christ in the stable of Bethlehem. The presentation of the temple was a fulfillment of the prophet Agios, that this second temple, first one being destroyed, Solomon's temple being destroyed, the second temple, the Messiah would come in the second temple, and how that was being fulfilled at the presentation of the temple. And when Jesus stayed 3 days lost in the temple, and then finally at our Lord's public life, when he preached in the temple, the fulfillment of this prophecy that in this temple, the Messiah would come. We also have in the sorrowful mysteries, we know the heinousness of our sins, the price that Jesus had to pay to atone for our sins, what an intense agony Jesus suffered, so much so to sweat blood, to be stripped of his garments, and these soldiers, these cruel soldiers, to whip and scourge our Lord most cruelly and beat him entirely over his body, and out of mockery to crown him with thorns, and for our Lord to walk that mile journey to Calvary, carrying his cross, and finally to be nailed to the cross and hang there for 3 long hours, and our Blessed Mother stand at the foot of the cross. There is so much that we can meditate on, and most of that we get right from the Gospels, right from the Word of God. And we see the beautiful, perfect example of Christ and the beautiful virtues practiced by the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the glorious mysteries, it gives us that hope that after this veil of tears, we will also, at the end of the world, rise to a new life, uniting our body and soul being united together, to live gloriously with our Lord and our Lady forever. And when we think of the coming of the Holy Ghost, we realize how weak we all are and how much we need God's grace. And what the Holy Ghost did for the apostles, he can also do for us. And finally, we see how wonderfully and beautifully our Lord rewarded the faithfulness of his mother to take her body and soul into heaven and to crown her gloriously as Queen of Heaven and Earth. Indeed, the rosary is a very powerful means of grace. I know that, at least for myself, in the late 60s, a time of great confusion in the church, the Mass was changing. Everything was being watered down and compromised. The faith was being destroyed. My parents realized something was not right. Couldn't quite put their finger on it, but we were praying the rosary as a family. And I remember kneeling down and as a young boy thinking, oh, my knees, 15 minutes, etc. But nevertheless, closing my eyes, I thought of the mysteries and thinking about the mysteries and praying the rosary. That was the means of my family coming to a knowledge of the true faith. By 1970, 71, we were going to the Latin Mass, and we knew that the Mass had been destroyed with the Novus Ordo and that Vatican II is no good. And I do believe that our Blessed Mother, she continues to work and bring about in the people's lives moments of grace where they see the light and find the truth. It's an amazing thing. Example after example after example, people start praying the rosary, and people, young people who had no foundation in the traditional Catholic faith, in the Latin Mass. All they knew and all they grew up was with the new Mass and the Vatican II, but by praying the rosary, they understood something was not right. And by God's grace working in their soul, the divine providence led them to a knowledge of the faith. It's a very, very small world indeed. On Tuesday, I was visiting a new family that moved into Omaha, and their parents were visiting from out of state, an elderly couple. And I got to ask them about, you know, how long they've been married and what kind of work did he do. And then I asked them the question, I said, how did you find out about the traditional movement, about the Latin Mass? And they had been devout to Our Lady and praying the rosary, but he said he was working for General Motors. And this man from Fort Worth, Texas, told him about the Latin Mass. And then he said the man's first name. And I stopped and I said, you're not talking about Mr. Henderson, are you? And the man just about fell out of his chair. You know Danny Henderson? I said, yes, we have Mass for him down in Alabama. I hadn't heard from him or seen him since 1996 after I went back to California. So I said, after we're done eating, I'll get on the phone. And they had a great conversation. But that wonderful opportunity, small world that it is, this man was telling you about the moment that he got to know about the Latin Mass and come back to tradition. Not only that, but now his son and his daughter-in-law and their children are involved with the true faith, and their children going to a Catholic school. And all that was just from that one momentary contact with working with somebody at General Motors. Now, maybe in the world, people think, oh, that was random. That just happened. You know, those things just happen. But no. God in his providence works very wonderfully. Not a hair falls from our head without our Lord knowing about it. And so I'd like to do this. Remind you, remind myself, that if we want to persevere in these difficult and confusing times, we must love the Blessed Virgin Mary. We must be very devout to her. Satan is extremely clever. He's the master of deceit. And he has legions at his disposal trying to undermine our faith, trying to undermine our spiritual life, trying to lead us away from God. Those of you children, remind yourselves this. If you took all the most intelligent men in the world, all the Einsteins and all these brilliant minds, all these professors and whatever, all of them combined would not match the dumbest angel, the dumbest devil, I should say, the dumbest devil. You little children, remind yourselves this. The devil, even the dumbest one, is far smarter than all the men of the world to put together. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows how to tempt us. And I think a very clever way the devil tempts us is by trying to cut off from our lives the means that we have at our disposal. And for the means of grace. And one of them, I believe, that powerful means is the rosary. The devil knows the good that can be accomplished by you praying the rosary. So he'll tempt you. Oh, it's so late. I'm so tired. I got so much to do. I don't got time for the rosary. Or if I pray the rosary, if my mother and father, we pray it as a family, I gotta pray it. And then we don't really pray. We're just putting in our time, moving our lips, making sound, our minds wandering. That is tragic. That is tragic. Because the rosary is the powerful means to keep you on the right track. You know, when I think of the Fatima children, this is the Fatima conference. We think of Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco. The amazing thing is this. Stop and think. When Our Lady first appeared to them, Lucia and Jacinta could hear Our Blessed Mother, but Francisco could not. They asked her where she's from. She said she's from heaven. And they asked. They knew of two girls who had died. This girl that died, did she go to heaven? Our Lady said yes. How about this other girl? Did she go to heaven? Now, this girl was only in her teens. Our Lady said she will be in purgatory to the end of the world. You know, sometimes kids act like, I'm just a little kid. God doesn't expect much from me. What did the angel of Portugal ask or tell the children? What are you doing? Pray a great deal. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are open, attentive to the voice of your supplications. When Our Blessed Mother appeared to those three children, she waved her hand in the July apparition and showed them a vision of hell. And Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, just little kids, became very mature. They had a spiritual seriousness about them. They realized, hey, life isn't a game. It isn't a joke. I have a soul to save. I have to get to heaven. And there's so many souls. They saw that vision of the souls in hell, and they became heroic in offering prayers and sacrifices for the conversion of poor sinners. So it is my reminder to all of us, let us be faithful to the praying of the rosary, the devout recitation of the rosary, not just saying it, truly praying it. And if there's anybody in our lives, our family members, relatives, friends, who are not doing God's will, maybe not practicing their faith, maybe are living in sin, get them to pray, especially the rosary. Offer them a scapular. And if the rosary seems to be too much for them, at least have them say some Hail Marys. If they could do that every day, Our Blessed Mother will do the rest. But I can just only exhort you and remind myself the power of the Holy Rosary throughout the history of the Church. Ever since Our Lady gave the Rosary to St. Dominic, all the way till now, the Rosary has been the powerful means of combating heresy. In 1571, at the Battle of Lepanto, when the Christian fleet met the Turks, their mighty fleet of ships, and the Christian fleet was outnumbered, it was by praying the Rosary that they gained the victory at the Battle of Lepanto. And St. Pius V, he knew this, even though he was many, many, many miles away. At the moment they gained a victory, he said, we should pray and give thanks to God. We've gained the victory. And it wasn't until long after that, days and days after that, when the ships finally returned, that when the word had it that it was a complete victory for the Christian fleet. The rosary was a powerful means of combating the errors of communism in different communist countries. There's so many wonderful examples of that. And you know, when we pray the rosary, when we wear Our Lady's scapular, we are fulfilling prophecy. Mary, the Mother of God, when she recited her beautiful prayer, the Magnificat, she prophesied, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. We fulfill that prophecy as Catholics when we wear her brown scapular, when we devoutly recite her Holy Rosary. On this feast of the Holy Rosary, let us remind ourselves, after the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receiving the sacraments, Praying the rosary is a very important part of our perseverance. Yes, we live in very confusing times, and I compare the times we live to the time of the crucifixion. When Jesus was dying on the cross, it seemed like his enemies had finally conquered. They were accusing Jesus of being a fraud and an imposter. He saved others, he can't save himself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And our Lord had just a handful of his followers, his mother, his beloved disciple, St. John, Mary Magdalene, a few of the holy women, that was it. His apostles and disciples abandoned him. And how could this be? He was the Messiah. He worked miracles of the most stupendous nature. No one has ever spoken as this man has spoken. No one has done the things that this man has done. Indeed, he was this Messiah. But how can we now understand he's being put to death? The death of crucifixion. And his enemies are taunting him and mocking him. And as we know, our Lord, on the third day, as he foretold, rose again. So the Holy Mother of the Church, the mystical body of Christ, undergoes a crucifixion. A lot of confusion, a lot of contradictions, but we must remember we have to stay close to the Blessed Virgin Mary if we would persevere to the end. As Jesus tells us, he who perseveres to the end, he shall be saved. Let us stay close to Our Lady, and let us fulfill her prophecy. All generations shall call her blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.